they're here, and that's what matters. And we do miss our folks when they're not here. We got Brother and Sister North out ministering. Am I turned on? Can you hear me okay? Okay. And they're out ministering. We have some folks out of town. We have folks sick. And so, but again, we're here and God is here. Awesome presence of God. And just know when you're not here, we do miss you. And so we're glad to have some of our family back today. Been gone for a while, but you're glad you're here. One thing I want to mention coming up, Brandon, is our car show. And what we might do, I don't know if we have any printed that we could put at the back, but this is, what, September the 28th? Our first ever car show here at New Life from 10 o'clock to 2. And I have no idea what to expect, but it's going to be fun. I know it is. And all of our outreaches, you've got to know, everything that we do is as a drawing tool to share the gospel. And so we will, at the very end of our of this event, we have somebody that's going to share the gospel, and we're going to put out that net to catch the fish. So believing for a good time. So if you know anybody has a fancy car, an old car, antique car, or whatever, tell them about it, and we want them to register. You can go online to our website and see that. So plan that. We're also gearing up for our November outreach, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and that's going to be exciting, I'm telling you. I don't know how many years we've been doing it, for a long time, haven't we? And yes, ma'am. Very good. That's good. Yeah, that will be great. We'll have a table there, and that'll be fun. Awesome time. Wherever people's at. And we made our motto a long time ago at New Life that we never give up on people. So we're always reaching that. And God is so good. So we're going to plan on our November outreach. We always giving out right at 100 meals, Thanksgiving meals with the turkeys. And we're going to double that this year. We're going for 200. And we've got some other churches that want to be involved and to help with that. So, and if you want to be a part of that, let us know. You want to donate some turkeys, that would be great. We have companies that we have found favor with that donate. And so we got lots of groceries that comes with that, and it's work, but we share the gospel net. We throw out that net at the end of the event. So thank you, Lord. All right, let's just get right into the Word and see what the Lord has for us. Why don't we just go to the Lord in prayer right where you're at? Dear Lord, we just thank you for today, and I thank you for your presence that's in this place. I thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word once again. I pray that you would give me clarity of mind and thought and voice, that I might be able to project and give your word to this body. Anoint these lips of clay, allowing me to speak as an oracle of Christ and not just as a man. And let none of your people who have come today go away empty, as it were when you fed the hungry multitude. They did all eat and were filled. And let your people be filled this morning, and those who will be ministered to later by the way of the internet, knowing that your word is the only hope for men and women in this hour. Help us to lean on and depend upon your word. Help us to understand your word and give us strength and power to proclaim your word. And we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give another hand clap of praise to the Lord this morning? How about a wave offering? We haven't done that. Let's just give a wave offering. Thank you, Lord. Can you say thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord, that He woke you up this morning. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for breath and life and health in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, if you will, why don't you turn with me if you have your Bibles? We'll have it online, but to Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at this very familiar story. It's 9 verses, 1 through 9. You have your iPads, your iPhone, your Bibles. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Look with me again at verse 5. This is where we're going to camp out. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Would you just look at somebody and just say this one word, nevertheless. Nevertheless. I was drawn this week to that word, and if you go through various Bible commentaries on the origin and the history of the word, you'll see that there is not just a whole lot out there. But when you look over at Webster's dictionary, thank goodness we have those on our phones today, here is how it defines the word nevertheless. It says, in spite of that, or however. It simply means that I understand the prevailing circumstances, but in spite of that. Brother Tony, I know how things look in the world today, but in spite of that, allow me to quote my son as he so eloquently says, come on somebody. You ought to just look at somebody once again and say, nevertheless. That's the title of my message this morning. Now, before I get into it, let's look at a couple of other Bible translations. You might have a different Bible besides the King James Version. And listen to what they say. I have two others that I want to read from. The one verse in the Amplified Version. This is the classic edition. It seems to shed a little more light. Here's what it says. And Simon Peter answered, Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets. But on the ground of your word, whew, that's good, isn't it? But on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again. And then we have the NIV, the New International Version. It says it this way, and I like this one. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net. All right, I need you to help me. Would you just turn again to somebody and tell them, I don't know what the facts are. I don't know how things appear. But because he said so, I'm going to look for another outcome. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. So as I said that one word, it means in spite of or forever. In looking through the Bible concordance, I find this little word is used some 97 times in the Bible. And in each case, the word nevertheless acts to change what seems to have been the prevailing circumstances. The word nevertheless is somewhat like the conjunction but, B-U-T. When you read in the Bible, and let's just say in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we find where Paul is writing these words. He says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And we find he goes on and he talks about how that you were without Christ and without hope in the world. And then he says, "But God." But God. In other words, once that conjunction but, B-U-T, comes into use, it's different to the conjunction and, A-N-D. The word and doesn't do anything, but it keeps on stacking up the same thing. In other words, this morning as a word pitcher, I might look at Sister Linda Wallace as an example today, and she won't mind because I've already asked her. No, in fact, I just said, "Hey, I'm going to mention you in my sermon." I didn't ask, okay? And I could say, did y'all see how she was decked out the other Sunday? I mean, she had on that beautiful outfit and some shiny bling to go with that outfit. I mean, new bling on her fingers and on her wrist and around her neck. I had to look up what bling really meant. I had no clue what it meant. But I hear folks talk about the bling, okay? But, did you see those shoes? Meaning, anytime you come, I'm going to clarify it in just a minute. Meaning, anytime you come to the conjunction but, it means that you can kind of discount everything that went in front of that. And what I really want to say is what comes after the conjunction. So to set the record straight where I can go on, I'm positive the shoes will always match the outfit when it comes to Sister Linda. How's that? All right. I mean, there was that time Brother Gary would be speechless when she would come out of her room in that red outfit and those red shoes. And he would open the door, of course, of their big red Cadillac for her to get in. And to church they came. Woohoo! You didn't even know she was in there. She just blended in with those red seats, you know. All you saw was her sunglasses. So then the word nevertheless has that same kind of power to change what seems to be the prevailing circumstances. Now, the first time that I read this word in Scripture, God Himself is using the word nevertheless. Over in Exodus chapter 32, Moses has just come down from the mountain, and the Lord has given to him the Ten Commandments. But while Moses was absent, spending 40 days up there on the mountain with God, there were those who persuaded Aaron, the high priest, to make a golden calf. And as Moses comes back down to the congregation, off in the distance he hears the noise of the people. And as they are dancing around the golden calf, and Moses, knowing God the way he knew him, he knew that God would just as soon go ahead and cut off the whole nation of Israel. And the Bible tells us in verse 31 of chapter 2 in Exodus, here's what it said, "And Moses returned unto the people and said, Oh, this people have sinned the great sin and have made them gods of gold. And yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. In other words, he tries to give God an ultimatum. Lord, either forgive them or just blot my name out of your book. And we find the Lord answering him then in verses 33 and 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sins upon them. So God was saying, I'm not going to kill them right now. I'm going to let the angel lead them onto the place where I told them they were going. But don't you think that because you're going to keep on marching toward Canaan, that I'm not going to settle the score. Nevertheless, the day is coming. So we see God did not blot all of Israel out that day. Yes, 3,000 men were killed. But 40 years later, when they entered into the promised land, everybody except Joshua and Caleb, that was over the age of 20 years old, that left Egypt, every last one of them had died somewhere along the way. Listen, a lot of times people think they've gotten away with things because God lets them get by for a while. Yet the Bible tells me God will not be mocked. Man will reap what he sows. Amen? So when the 12 spies whom Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan, they came back. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a positive report. Yet the other 10 gave a negative report. And we find this story over in Numbers chapter 13. They first tried to sound encouraging. Chapter 13, beginning with the verse 24, talks about the brook of Eshcol and how that the grapes were huge. They were so large. And yes, they all acknowledged that this was a land flowing with milk and honey. Yet when they got through giving their positive report about the land, and then they say this word, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That was a giant, the children of the giant. They saw the blessings that were upon the land. However, they were discouraged because of the giants. So understand something with me this morning. Nevertheless can work negatively or it can work positively in our lives. Another story, Moses talks about it in Deuteronomy 23 in verse 5. He goes back to the time when a man by the name of Balaam was hired by Balak, the king of Moab. And the king said how Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, tried to stop Israel with brute force. And those two kings were defeated. So King Balak decided he was going to use a spiritualist to stop Israel. So he sought to hire Balaam to come and to curse the nation of Israel. And when Balaam left home, going with the princes of Balak, Balaam really thought that he was going to pull this off because he had been promised great rewards. But by the time he got there, Moses tells us in Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, that even though Balaam was hired by God, or by Balak, to curse Israel, nevertheless, it says, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. He wouldn't listen to him. But the Lord thy God, it says, turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. So let's think about this in regards to our lives today. And this really is something that we can praise God for. How many times have there been those who have tried to stop you from that raise or stop you from that bonus or stop you from that promotion or stop you from moving into the house where you are now or stop you from getting the car that you're now driving. Those who've tried to stop you in all kinds of ways, but God. It may not be a particular person, but there was an evil spirit at work to stop you from having that abundant life, that promised abundant life that God gives us. The Bible tells us we have an adversary, the devil, who comes to steal from us, who does desire to kill us and destroy our lives. We know he cannot get to God. So the best next thing, he says, I'm coming after God's family. And so he does come after us. And I would not doubt that someone in here this morning would say, Pastor, it looked like every demon was released against me. And all my enemies tried to curse me. Nevertheless, God loved me, Pastor. And because God loved you, you are here today and you are blessed and your needs are met. Now that's worth a big amen. Can you say amen this morning? We can thank God that it doesn't matter what the enemy has done or tried to do. Nevertheless, in the book of John, chapter 11, we find the word had gotten to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was dead. And when Jesus said, he's asleep, but I must go and wake him up, his disciples said, well, Master, if he sleeps, he doeth well. Yet, Jesus had to let them know plainly that Lazarus is dead. And we find it in John chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. We find he said to them, he's dead, but nevertheless, let us go unto him. The disciples didn't understand it. And a lot of times, listen, we don't understand what God is doing. We don't understand what he is saying. But Jesus knew that although this man is dead, Jesus knew that he himself was the resurrection and the life. And that death does not stop him from doing what he wants to do if it's time for resurrection to be brought about. Now, I know of those in my lifetime who died in a church service, and the saints gathered around and prayed, and they came back alive to live some more years. And I'm sure you have read stories of those being raised up from the dead when others were not and were buried, many of our friends and loved ones. But part of the good news that we have from God's word is that day is coming when all the saints who hear the trumpet and hear God's voice, the grave will open. And they're going to come out of their grave to meet Jesus in the air. And the Bible says we too will meet them in the air. And to be with Jesus, be together with our loved ones for all eternity. And Brother Gary, yes, we are awaiting the time that we're going to see Jesus face to face. But today there are those perhaps who are thinking all of your hopes and all of your dreams, all of your ambitions seemingly have been lost or dead and buried. The things that you hope for. Years ago, the enemy had caused you to believe that you have no future, that your talents will never excel, that you will never arrive at the fulfillment of your dreams or your destiny. But the word that you need to hear this morning is the same God that was able to bring Lazarus out of the grave can still resurrect all of your hopes and your dreams. Yes, so-called friends may say it's over, go on with your life. Well-meaning family members may say it's over, do something different with your life. Circumstances have made it look like it's over. the devil himself might say, it's over for you. But I hear this word soaring from way down in my spirit that is saying to every one of us this morning, nevertheless, the Lord says that it's not over, that you still have a chance to become who He always said that you could be. There's more work for you to do for the kingdom of God. Listen, so many people have lost hope where their dreams are concerned. And I'm not talking about your nighttime ramblings, for lack of a better word, that are caused by eating too late or eating the wrong food. No, I'm talking about your conscious dreams, your visions that used to live within you, the position that you saw yourself in, the development of the talent that you know God had given you that was in the rough. Those dreams did not come from eating too much pizza. But the night dream, whatever that dream was, which was a desire in your heart, understand with me this morning, God put that there and He put it in you. Because He wanted you to know the direction that He wanted you to go in your life. Sure, you may have wasted years. You may not have finished school when you had the opportunity to develop it. A lot of things you did not do to develop the talent that God gave you. And now you feel like maybe your life will never reach the plateau of where God wanted you to go. I want you to listen to this old bald-headed fat preacher this morning. I'm here to tell you that as long as breath is in your body, it is not too late. Everybody else may have said, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never reach the fulfillment of your dreams. But I'm here to tell you, nevertheless, nevertheless, just like in football and basketball, at a crucial moment in the game, we find they stop the clock for a timeout. The clock might have been stopped in your life. God stopped the clock, waiting for you to get yourself together. And understand, though, it's still not too late. And as Brandon declared last Sunday from his message, Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you hope and to give you a future. I don't know who you are this morning, but the enemy has been tormenting you and telling you you're not going to make it. Yet the Holy Spirit of Almighty God is saying to tell you this morning, no matter what it seems, it's not too late. Nevertheless, you can still make it. Just lean over and tell somebody, don't give up, because God is on your side. There used to be that commercial years ago, Nationwide is on your side. No, there's no insurance company on your side. God is the only one on your side. There are those passages then of Scripture with which we all are probably familiar with. One is found in Matthew 26:39, if you want to write it down. Another is Mark 14:36. And one more, Luke 22:42. In all three of these, we see where Jesus Himself as a man, we see His own flesh did not want to go through the death of the cross. But even though the flesh doesn't want the suffering of the cross, He prays this, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And we find then Paul concluded in Galatians 2:20, when he thought about the life of a Christian, how that sometimes to follow Jesus, you've got to cut off from the world so much to the extent that others may look at you and think that you are nothing and that you are a nobody. And Paul says, when I look at it, I'm dead to the world. I'm crucified with Christ. Just like he died on the cross, this life has nailed me to the cross. I'm crucified. And yes, we know that's a painful death. And sometimes it is painful to live for Jesus when everybody around you is going the other way. But when Paul got through talking about how painful it was and said, I'm crucified with Christ, he looked on the flip side of the coin, if you please, and said, nevertheless, I live. Yeah. Nevertheless, I live. I may be dead on one side, but I'm alive on the other side. I may be dead to the world, but I'm alive in the kingdom of God. I may be dead to the pleasures of the world, but I have joy on the other side that cannot be compared with anything in this present world. Another time, Paul, weary of his struggles, wrote to the saints at Philippi. This is found in his letter of the Philippians, chapter 1. He talks about the fact that trying to be a leader of God's people sometimes becomes painful. He said, and you know, I've come to a point now where I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to cross over to the other side. But every time I think about having a desire to cross over to the other side, to depart and to be with Christ, he said, that would be far better for me. But when I think about what your needs are, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. In our text this morning, we find this was early in Jesus' ministry. This was really before he had handpicked the 12, whom he would eventually name as his apostles. He goes down to the lake of Gennesaret, which is also called the Sea of Galilee. And he says, I want to borrow this boat. I just want to push away from the land just a little ways. That way I don't have the people just crowding around me. I can speak to the whole crowd. So let me just back out into the water so I can preach for just a little while. And when he got through preaching, we see that he turns to Peter and James and John and their buddies, who had fished all night and hadn't caught anything and were now washing their nets, the Bible says. Simply meaning they were through for the day. They were not going to try it anymore. Understand, if they were going to go back out later that afternoon, they would not have washed their nets. But they decided that evidently this isn't a good day. And now we're going to quit. Did you know that there are folks, and you may be under the sound of my voice, or you might be watching this at a later time, but you are like the fishermen in this story. You've decided to wash your nets. You are through with church. You're through with dealing with church folks who act one way on Sunday, but you see them acting another way throughout the week. You're through trying to make the marriage work. The spouse doesn't seem to want to serve God. The kids are not serving God. The grandkids are a mess. Why should I keep trying? I'm washing my nets. You're trying to excel, but you're not just going to settle down and you're just going to settle down and be mediocre. I'm no longer going to strive for excellence. Understand with me this morning, that's what it means when you're washing your nets. You said, apparently I failed and now I'm just going to quit even trying. So these fishermen were washing their nets. But I heard Jesus say these words to Peter. Come on, get in the ship and let's go back out there in the deep. And let down these nets for a drought. Meaning for a big haul or a big catch. They did not have any idea what was about to happen in their lives. But we read in verse 5 again of Luke 5, Simon responding, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. It's almost like he's saying, where in the world did you come from, Jesus? Don't you know I've been doing this for quite a while, and I haven't had any success? Can I be just real with us today? You know how it is when somebody tells you to go back and do what you've already done. We got a lot of sweet saints who come to church, and the pastor says, you know, you just really need to pray about this. But pastor, but Brother Brandon, I thought you had a word from the Lord for me this morning. Man, I've already prayed. So what can you tell me, Brother Brandon? But listen, it may be that the time you prayed, you were praying on the wrong side of the boat. Listen, sometimes when we pray, it might be that we're praying to try and get God to convince everybody else that you're wrong and I'm right. But real prayer is creating, watch this, a channel between you and God. Not telling God to show them folks. But when you really pray, you're saying, Lord, it's in your hands now. Yes, Lord, maybe I've been looking at it the wrong way. Touch somebody this morning and yes, boldly tell them, maybe you've been praying in shallow water. Maybe you've been praying in shallow water. It's time to launch out into the deep. Well, pastor, what do you mean praying in shallow water? I mean when you're praying, trying to convince God to come to your way of thinking, or trying to get God to convince somebody else to come to your side, you are in shallow water. You were in shallow water. But when you really pray, you open that channel between you and God. And you say, God, I'm tired of trying and saying that I know it. But I want you to show me which side is right. They may be right, and I may be wrong. I confess it, Lord. My position, my thinking on this matter may just be wrong. And so, Lord, I'm exhausted trying to figure this out on my own. Please, Lord, show me the right way. And guess what? You have just put yourself in that place to now to be ready, to be really ready to hear from God and receive. That's when you step out into the deep. Because now you've gotten to a place where you're willing to trust God's judgment in the matter. Your way hasn't worked. You've not seen any results. You've toiled and there's nothing to show for it. It's time now to listen to what God is saying and to be obedient to His Word, because He really is, Sister Judy, preparing us for something big. Simon, go out into the deep and let down for a draught. Well, Lord, we've been working all night. And again, some of you today are asking, what are you talking about making my dreams work, Pastor? That's all I've been doing, Pastor. I've been working my fingers to the bone. And yes, you're absolutely right. Sometimes we have been working, yet we haven't always been listening. Sometimes, and I'm including myself in this, we were working, but we were stubbornly doing it our way. Would you say our way? But what the Word of the Lord wants us to hear this morning is this. Come on, try it again, Simon. Put that net out there one more time, but this time you try it my way. Simon Peter had all of his arguments in place. Master, we've toiled all night. We haven't caught anything. And all of a sudden, while he's thinking and trying to come up with another excuse, something had to have flipped in his mind. And I can just see Peter thinking this. This man is the man that's been healing the sick. This man has the power to cleanse lepers. This man has the power to work all kinds of miracles. Let me quit trying to give him another excuse. And instead of me saying what I've done, I'm just going to say, Master, I've been working all night. I haven't caught anything, but nevertheless, I haven't caught anything, but in spite of that, I haven't caught anything, but on the ground of your word, I haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I haven't caught anything, but whatever you say, if you say try it again, I'm going to try it again. And when he tried it, and when he tried it again at the urging of Jesus, we see that the fish swam into the net. And before he knew it, he was successful where he had failed before. He was victorious where he had been defeated. And that's all I'm trying to tell us today. I don't know what's been going on in your life. You might have already yielded and submitted to failure. But the Lord is saying this morning, nevertheless, at my word, try it again. The doctor told you that because of the condition in your body, you may not live very long. But listen, I don't care what the doctors say. Nevertheless, the Lord says, my Bible records Jesus' word, the creator of the universe, who says, I am the Lord who heals you. The doctors may say you're going to die. The symptoms are saying it's almost over. The x-rays are showing it's no use. Nevertheless, the Lord says, I command you to live. Would you just lean over to somebody and tell them, I don't know what you've been told by your health, about your health, but nevertheless, the Lord said you're going to live. It's okay. We can declare that over our lives and over those around us. The Lord says we're going to live, and we are until he says it's time's up. He says, come on up here now. You've been through a lot. But until then, you're going to live and do what I've called you to do. Amen. The creditors are saying you're going to lose everything. You're about to lose your job. And although the creditors are saying that, they're saying that this is your end. It looks like it's just about over. Yet the word that you need to stand on is nevertheless. Lord, I will listen and I will obey, and I promise you, God will take care of you. Stand on David's word when he said, I was young, but now, even now in my old age, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Nevertheless, God is on my side, and I know everything is going to be all right. Praise God. Brother Galen, would you come on up here? Hallelujah. How many know God is good? We serve a big God. He knows everything going on in your life. He knows what happened yesterday. He knows what happened last week. He knows what's going on with your kids. He knows how much you can handle. He knows when we flew off the handle, if you please. It's okay. God cares. In just a few minutes, I want us to do something that we've done before. And I'm going to have us, please don't leave for just a few more minutes. We're not going to call you out. But I just want you to find someone around you, maybe two or three. It doesn't matter. And in just a few minutes, I want us just to connect with each other's heart. And I want you to pray for the person next to you. Just declare, over them. You may not know what they're going through necessarily, and that's okay. But God wants you just to take a moment to speak over that person and let them speak over you. You can let them know. Watch this. Let them know that no matter what the enemy has said, nevertheless, the Lord is on your side. That your situation may be different than someone else's. But understand, anything happening in your life, listen to this, understand, anything that's happening in your life that is diminishing you, anything that's been stolen from you, like your health, your finances, your family, your job, listen, just know that the work of the enemy, it's the work of the enemy who is out there to destroy us. But the Lord said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You need to know God will not allow the devil's desire to be accomplished in your life. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Would you just find somebody? It might be two or three. Brother Gary, would you gather some around you? Brandon, would you go to the back there? Maybe some of those back there. Brother Tony, Becky, if y'all can gather. Just right there where you're at, okay? We're going to have little groups, two or three together. Just take hold. And I'm going to pray for those watching online. Hallelujah. Just find two or three, four. Gather together. There you go. Hallelujah. Just declare life over them. Just declare God's will to be done in their lives. Hallelujah. And those that are watching online, Satan, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You take your hands off of God's people. Take your hands off of those families. Take your hands off of their marriages. Take your hands off of the job situation. Satan, take your hands off of their bank accounts. Take your hands off of that affliction and disease. Take it off of the body of people. Those that are watching, may the Lord heal you. May the Lord deliver you. May the Lord set you free. May the Lord give you victory. May the Lord encourage you in your heart. May the Lord lift you up right now, in Jesus' name.